Paradise Theater was, the object behind it was simply to say to Americans, if we want to regain our place in the world, if we want to once again be proud of the country in which we live and be proud of the products we produce and proud of ourselves as a nation, then it's time for some self-examination. These are the best of
times. Talk about, you know, Yes, Mrs. Cleaver, Your Son's Home to Stay, which was a reference to Eldridge Cleaver, who went to Africa because he hated this country, didn't want to go back there, went over and saw what it was like to live in Libya or Ethiopia, wherever he went. And he's back here now, part of the legitimate political system, because he recognized, you know, we're flawed, but we're the best damn game in town still.
Okay. You mean that wasn't about the beaver? Now I'm stubborn, can't live without you. 'Cause you're so fine, I just can't get away. Hi, this is Dennis DeYoung of Styx.
And I'm JY of Styx, in the studio for Paradise Theater.
From July 1977 to the end of that decade, you'd be hard-pressed to find an American rock band more popular than the Chicago quintet called Styx. In that two-and-a-half-year period, Styx had three top 10 albums, selling a combined total of 8 million copies of The Grand Illusion, Pieces of Eight, and Cornerstone. A 1979 Gallup poll had Americans naming Styx as their favorite band. So as the 80s decade dawned, the members of Styx, that's fraternal twins John and Chuck Panozzo on drums and bass, guitar, respectively, Tommy Shaw, the Alabama singer, guitarist, songwriter that had sparked Styx into superstardom, lead guitarist and occasional singer-songwriter James J.Y. Young, and keyboard player, vocalist, songwriter Dennis D. Young, these five musicians based in the Windy City should now be in Fat City, right? Well, not necessarily, because the U.S. as a whole was struggling with extremely high unemployment, skyrocketing interest rates, urban decay and crime, and the Iranian-U.S. hostage stalemate. Amidst these turbulent times, original Styx co-founder and now former singer, songwriter, keyboard player Dennis DeYoung found inspiration for the next Styx album.
I happened by this art gallery, and there was a painting by a man named Addison of this theater. It was essentially this picture. And I said, my goodness, Paradise temporarily closed. I said, to me, this is a metaphor for America at this point in time, in that a once great, beautiful, proud palace has been allowed to decay. And it's also representative of, obviously, of urban decay. And it just struck me, Paradise Theater. This is the title of an album. This is a theme for an album, because in 1980 when this was conceptualized, we just come out of our second oil embargo, the Iranian hostage crisis. There was such a the inflation was like 19-20%, wasn't it?
And interest rates were very high.
Yeah,
17-18%.
It was a very, very disconcerting period to live in the United States, having grown up in the late 50s and early 60s, where
big cars,
big everything,
big houses,
nothing was going to stop us. The horizons were unlimited. And so this was the first real staring of the face of that America had to find out that its power was certainly not omnipotent.
There were limitations, right?
Yes. And this was just before the whole Reagan thing begins, you know. This is on the cusp of this whole thing. I remember us in the studio watching the election results when Reagan got elected in 80.
With Jimmy Carter, who was the incumbent.
Yeah, that's right.
At the time.
We were watching that, and had this trailer in the back. I was watching that and thinking, well, here. But at that moment in time, there was a feeling that, man, anything's better than what's going on right now. You know, that's pretty much the feeling I had. I said, this is a pretty sad state of affairs. Paradise Theater was, the object behind it was simply to say to Americans, if we want to regain our place in the world, if we want to once again be proud of the country in which we live and be proud of the products we produce and proud of ourselves as a nation, then it's time for some self-examination.
Tonight's the night, we'll make history. as sure as dogs can fly. And I'll take any risk to tie back the hands of time and stay with you here tonight. So take your seats and don't be late. We need your spirits high to turn on these theater lights and brighten the darkest skies here at the Paradise.
Styx member Dennis DeYoung, joined by current Styx lead guitarist and songwriter James J.Y. Young.
And in the lyrics of Rockin' the Paradise, which is like the song that J.Y. and myself and Tommy wrote together, and this is 1980, we're writing about this, really tired of people looking for the short-term return on everything in this country, the six-month, the accountability for businesses.
Well, I mean, just, you know, especially, I mean, of course, later in the 80s it was much worse, but the idea that everyone's job in corporate America, in television, in radio, you know, is based on the corporate earnings of the last quarter, and if your ratings go down, if it's a radio station, you know, or if it's a television station, or if it's a company, you're out of here, and let's get somebody else in here, let's change format, let's change everything, let's cut whatever we have to cut. It really was a very short-term mentality, which, I mean, obviously, in retrospect, when we look back, we can see that the whole Oriental philosophy is one of everything has got a much longer-term perspective. We invest now for the long term.
It is the theme of the album. It's the theme of the Paradise Theater, the idea that if this country is ever going to do anything again in the world market, it has to take pride in the jobs they're doing and take, you know, to manufacture something. And really, this is before all the real paper shuffling went on, but it was talking about, hey, all this fast buck, lame duck fast buck, which is what, you know, my parents and J.Y.'s parents, the people that really built this country in the 20th century were people who essentially cared about what they did and worked hard at it and were proud, you know, of the things even if they worked in manufacturing, even if they worked as a printer or at United States Steel, they worked hard and, you know, to provide, and there was this real sense of doing something. And I think we'd gotten away from that we're still away from that in this country.
A bottle of cold brew. This
Tommy Shaw's Too Much Time on My Hands from Styx and Paradise Theater. Styx current singer-songwriter Tommy Shaw in the studio.
And it just goes to show you, in a band like Styx too, a lot of our biggest songs that we play in concerts, they were never even attempted as pop singles, yet they're the fabric of the fans who still come to see us. The singles game, as you know, is a very, it's a very strange place to be. You know, you live and die by it, and you know, if you have a number one and then your follow-up goes to number five, you're a colossal failure. You know, and careers can be very short in the singles game. But a band like The Who, with songs that you don't look at their song list and wonder how far up the charts they went, because you believe in your hearts that those songs are meaningful and they belong in your life's playlist.
Dennis DeYoung with James J.Y. Young.
Even though Babe was a big hit record and we went and sold 3 million copies, there was still a serious fear within management and with Tommy and J.Y. that the success of Babe was going to adversely affect our next release. This was definitely the belief, because don't forget, it hadn't, all right, you could look at Cornerstone and say, hey, it sold as much as the last one, which was a hard rocking album, but the success after the success of Babe dies down, people are not going to respond to the next thing because you've gone and made this ballad, all right? So there was a great deal of apprehension as to what would happen next in the band, and it was a pulling apart. It was really the first big split internally in the band, where there was this fear, I think, really, in a large part, probably motivated from management. It came from that, you know, there was really a firm belief from our manager that Babe was a very big mistake for us. Okay, so that was, this is the premise by which this album is going to begin under.
It was definitely a concern, and it manifested itself in definitely some serious discussions.
Yeah, it was a very tenuous period for us as a band because of that, you know, that feeling that we'd made a mistake. Even though we'd had success, we'd made a mistake. We entered into Paradise Theater with this kind of cloud hanging over us. But listen, this is part of being in a band.
This,
you know,
is not a red beard first, ladies and gentlemen. He's gotten us to talk about this out loud.
But it's okay because, you know, it's okay because really people have to understand that the Beatles had disagreements. Every band has disagreements when there's more than one writer and more than one creative force. And there is no one way that is the right way. That's the fact of life. So when we entered into this Paradise Theater stage, there was really, it was a very tenuous situation.
Since many Europeans, by and large, view Americans with a mixture of envy and contempt, and since Styx toured Europe extensively throughout the late 70s, I asked former Styx member Dennis DeYoung and current singer-guitarist James Young of Styx their observations.
In retrospect, now that what we're witnessing in this world with the fall of the apparent fall of communism, and the real fall of communism, certainly in Eastern Europe, last time we were traveling throughout Europe, you know, there has always been a great tradition of socialism in Europe and a very kind of romantic, liberalized point of view. I think, you know, as these walls have come tumbling down, you know, I think the whole mood would certainly be a great deal different now than when, you know, and when you think of one of the albums was actually called Sandinistas. You know, the Clash called their album that. I mean, when we've seen what the Sandinistas are, it says something about the mood in throughout Europe in the late 70s and early 80s, last time we actually traveled there. And it was one that seems, what I perceived when we traveled throughout Europe was, more than anything, there was an envy about American affluence as somehow, you know, it's like
it was ill-gotten.
Yeah, the biggest, stupidest guys on the block win the lotto. You know, pretty much, I think that's how Europeans viewed Americans. Like somehow these big, dumb guys, you know, had bought a lottery ticket and they'd won a fortune. And there really is the perception that Americans, by and large, have a great deal more than they actually have. Americans are have been instilled with this ridiculous sense of idealism and that all things are possible because they're in a country that's never been truly ravaged by war, for at least for 100 years outside the Civil War. Never really, you know, in our modern society, not one that has been, that has lived the history that the Europeans have had of wars and everything over thousands of years. So we're really imbued with a spirit of resilience and all things are possible, where Europeans tend to be more skeptical and more introspective about things than we are, certainly. And I suppose if I were a European and I met Americans, they might grate on me a little bit too, because we seem to have this naive confidence.
Tonight's the night we'll make history, honey. I'll take any risk to tie back the hands of time and stay with you here tonight. I know you feel these are the words. I do believe it's true. When people lock their doors and hide inside, rumor has it it's the end of paradise. But I know if the world just passed us by, baby, I know.
End of Paradise.
That's the best of times. Dennis DeYoung's comment on the bleakness of the social and economic climate found in America in the dawn of the 80s. Up next, we find out why Styx was attacked by right-wing fundamentalists for, quote, doing the devil's work. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, on Twitter at Redbeard Rocks, and online at inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard. You're in the studio for Styx's anniversary of Paradise Theater.
Hey, everybody, this is James Young.
And I'm Lawrence Gowan.
And this is Tommy Shaw.
We are Styx.
And we are in the studio
for Paradise Theater with the man himself, Redbeard.
Why, thank you, JY. Dennis DeYoung has been noticing that many of the things that Styx found so troubling back in 1981 have actually gotten worse in America.
Since Paradise Theater, I can't say, you know, what I felt was going to, what was happening in 1980 when this thing was conceptualized, I must say it's, there's so many things in this country right now that I find, you know, so alarming, even more so than I saw in 1980. And I don't, you know, as one individual, it perplexes me as to what can be done, you know, to turn a collective nation around, and you think leadership would be the thing to do, and I don't think that we get that kind of leadership, but maybe we get what we asked for. I'm not so sure. But down the line from the Paradise Theater, in many ways, the urban centers, of course, are, you know, by and large, in a great deal more decay than I even remembered, like from traveling around seven, eight years ago. But the suburban areas in this country, it seems like a very settled, convenient and cozy situation for a great number of people in this country. We travel through suburbs that seem to be very substantially middle and upper middle class, and that didn't exist even 7, 8 years ago. And so I see more of a disparity between the people who appear to have something and the people who appear to have nothing, which is very disconcerting. Not that you can ever alleviate or legislate all the problems of people who are less fortunate. You just can't do that.
Streets were empty, down.
years since releasing Paradise Theater, Styx has gone through many personnel changes, including Dennis DeYoung's departure, drummer John Panazzo's death, bass player Chuck Panazzo's battle with HIV, and the addition of Lawrence Gowan in the singer-keyboard player role to augment Tommy Shaw and James Young's voices and guitars. Tommy, Lawrence, and JY bring us up to date with Styx.
How important to the concept is having three lead singers with totally distinct vocal styles and textures?
And willing to sing harmony with each other. That's one thing. It's one thing to be a singer, but to be a lead singer and to be willing to be part of a chorus at the same time. Because that requires you abandoning putting your own spin on the song and singing along with somebody else. That to me, that's one thing that distinguishes Styx, aside from the three lead vocals like that. But it was a huge help for us because we were able to not only just sing the songs that required one voice, but when it came time for the big chorus, it was a piece of cake for us.
Lawrence?
Well, yeah, the everyone's musical personality or their forte is allowed to come to the forefront with whatever songs they choose to sing. Like, there's some obvious ones here. You know, the toughest thing for me coming into Styx, and the thing that I have to be most cognizant of, is being part of that three voice, what do you call the three headed monster again? The Hydra. That's
Hydra,
the dog with the three
good.
Heads. There,
very good.
Is.
You're right.
The power of those three voices together are one of the most distinctive things about the sound of Styx. And being able to put myself into that block harmony with JY and Tommy has been the thing that I'm most aware of. And so I think that's just one of our strengths.
You know, you may have forgotten this, but then-Senator Al Gore had his wife, Tipper, start something called the Parents Music Resource Council, the PMRC, to raise Al Gore's national profile in hopes of running for national office in the future. Of course, he did get that as vice president with Bill Clinton. They chose to attack rock lyrics in the early 1980s, and so they chose a big target, Styx, as satanic. Because of some bizarreness about the song Snowblind, I asked JY and Dennis DeYoung why Styx was targeted.
Well, really, it's a negative song about drug addiction. Wasn't always perceived that way because the lyrics were not overtly, you know, intended to say this is bad or just say no. It was nothing, you know, quite as obvious as that. But, you know, the tone of the song was intended to convey the message that substance abuse is, you know, is a negative thing. So, I mean, that's really lyrically where the song came from. And Tommy really did come up with some of these lyrics as well. And he's not credited on here the way we credit songs sometimes. You know, we sort of...
Well, we borrow from each other in the group situation and we try to, you know...
That's democracy at work.
Mirror, mirror on the wall, the face you show me scares me so. Thought that I could call your bluff, but now the lines are clear enough. Life's not pretty, even though I try so hard to make it so. Mornings are such cold distress. How did I ever
you can't escape this emptiness. No more reasons to pretend. Here comes that same old
There is a line in the song Snowblind, which, when spoken forward, says, "I try so hard to make it so." Somehow, when that's spoken backwards, sung, as it is on this record.
No, when it's just played backwards.
Well, yeah. When the record is played
backwards.
We never
sang anything backwards.
Right.
Okay.
But when Snowblind was played backwards, that particular lyric line sounded to someone like, "Satan, move through our voices." Now, if you do that... To me, it sounds like, oh, Satan, move through our, you know.
Yeah, move through our condominiums, I think.
Yeah,
it does sound a little bit like that, you know, but it's
so
like...
So anytime you say, make it so, are you saying, oh, Satan?
Well, we just said this, anybody who plays their records backwards is the Antichrist, so...
It's already been taken over anyway.
Look, we have enough trouble making these records sound right forward, so, I mean, I don't know. What are you going to do with people? They got nothing better to do, but...
We were unfairly criticized.
Yeah, but look, it's the name Styx. It's probably these guys are fundamentalist guys, and they said, "Who can we get? Styx? They must be doing something wrong, because it's the you know the name is the river and the underground, you know, and that's probably where it all stemmed from. I mean, can you imagine attacking the guys who made Babe? I mean, please.
I'm Redbeard. Follow In the Studio on Facebook at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter and online at inthestudio.net. You're in the studio with James J.Y. Young, Tommy Shaw, Lawrence Gowan, and former member Dennis DeYoung of Styx for the anniversary of Paradise Theater.
Hey, everybody, this is James Young.
And I'm Lawrence Gowan.
And this is Tommy Shaw.
We are Styx.
And we are in the studio
for Paradise Theater with the man himself, Redbeard.
Why, thank you, J.Y. Of course, the irony of having the moral majority types label Snowblind as satanic was not lost on Styx, because censorship would turn out to be the inspiration for the next Styx album, Kilroy Was Here. Here's former Styx member Dennis DeYoung.
I was on Nightline with these guys. You want to come on and defend rock and roll? I said, not really, but I'll come on and defend the First Amendment and, you know, the idea that we were Snowblind as an anti-drug song and you're saying it's about Satan. That's pretty weird. I think it illustrated to me personally that there was a growing mood of censorship coming in this country. You know, the Reagan administration had just come in, and these fundamentalist guys, and Jerry Falwell, the moral majority. This was all in the infant stages of that.
The right wing was feeling its power at that stage.
Yeah. You know, and really, but the great thing about a democracy in this country is that, you know, there'll be an ebb and flow to this stuff. You just have to, like, weather it out a little bit. And, you know, Kilroy was... Kilroy was a lot of things. It was men in sponge outfits, wasn't it? It was guys with masks
on. Those delightful masks, yeah.
It was moving pictures. It was a lot of stuff, but really what it was...
Five dummies on stage.
I looked at J.Y. one day and I said, J.Y., do me a favor, will you? Are we going to go to Madison Square Garden and play this? Are we going to play another rock show? I mean, can we do something different? This was the beginning, all right? The germ was... Listen, this is the fifth time we're going to go to Madison Square Garden. Maybe we could do something different. You know, our shows are always, you know, rather lavish, but so we did.
Delightfully overstated.
J.Y. and I held hands, went to the end of the diving board, and jumped in. we said, we'll do this thing. And
turned out to be the deep end.
Dennis DeYoung and current singer-songwriter James Young, their observations.
Nothing has changed, and if anything, they've gone worse. They've gone south.
Well, this country,
from there.
So many people in this country are interested in producing nothing except for the ability to turn paper into money by shuffling, you know, by leveraged buyouts and arbitrageurs and all this kind of stuff. You know, and really, you know, maybe it's foolish for us to, you know, decry the end of the Industrial Revolution in this country, but the fact that products are not manufactured in this country in the way they used to, Americans could be proud that they made the best products in the world, and that wasn't nonsense, and, you know, that's passed us by, and I don't know what the reasons for all this are. It probably has to do with the cyclical nature of human beings in that... when they don't have anything and they're forced to do whatever it is to rise above their surroundings, they work twice as hard. And Americans pretty much are, you know, that we've become spoiled, you know, by and large, and we've taken so many things for granted in this country. And I don't know that anything's going to change that short of something, I guess, disastrous and tragic.
And really, Halfpenny Twopenny is a song about, you know, people... in this country have a real tendency to turn and blame others in this country for their woes and their problems. I mean, it's an obvious thing that we're all guilty of to some degree, but we had extensively traveled in Europe and in other places by this point in time, and we'd seen, okay, we have problems here in this country, you know, and there are inequities, and there probably always will be, because we are human.
Another divorce, just a few hundred grand.
about, you know, Yes, Mrs. Cleaver, Your Son's Home to Stay, which was a reference to Eldridge Cleaver, who went to Africa because he hated this country, didn't want to go back there, went over and saw what it was like to live in Libya or Ethiopia, wherever he went. And he's back here now, part of the legitimate political system, because he recognized we're flawed, but we're the best damn game in town still.
Okay. You mean that wasn't about the beaver?
And so, my friends, we'll say goodnight, for time has claimed his prize. But tonight can always last as long as we keep alive the memories of paradise.
I'm Redbeard, back in the studio after this. This is Redbeard in the studio, thanking my guests, Lawrence Gowan, Tommy Shaw, James J.Y. Young, and Dennis DeYoung. In the Studio is written and produced by yours truly, Redbeard, for Bearded Fish Productions. Copyright 2016. All rights reserved. Transcription by Jane Carpenter Brune. Theme song by Andy Timmons. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and online at inthestudio.net.